Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. This is Keith Overt, broadcasting live from DeVoe Square here at Pensacola Business Radio. I've got two very special guests in our studio today. They are the Martellis, John and Marcia. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for coming in. So I want to know what you guys do. Talk to me.
Well, first of all, Keith, thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
We really appreciate it. What do we do? That's a hard one.
That's one you ask yourself quite often, isn't it?
Every day. We are an invention company.
Yeah.
And we invent all sorts of products, mainly right now in the sewing and quilting. Interesting enough, you would think, oh, that's a grandmother's kind of a thing.
Yeah. Not so much.
Who quilts?
Yeah.
But there are over 23 million quilters in the United States.
Really?
30 million.
Is it 30 million?
And they're avid quilters.
Okay, who discovered this niche?
Actually,
was it Marcia?
It was your mom came to us.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty creative when it comes to mechanical things, mm-hmm. and I can fix a lot of different things. And a long time ago, I don't know how many years ago, how many, hon? I think 15, 20.
I'm fixing things?
No. Yeah. I'll fix you in a minute. When your mom,
about 20 years ago.
About 20 years ago. Her mom was working, sewing some garments for a church play at Easter time. Mm-hmm. And her rotary blade went dead in the middle of the night, her rotary cutter blade. So the next day she came over to us and she asked me if I could invent something that would sharpen, you know, round razor blades.
Yeah.
And I said, sure, what's a round razor blade? You know, I've never seen one. I didn't know what it was. She showed it to me. It took me a couple hours to go out in the back room, and I didn't have any tools. The room was about as big as what we are sitting in right now. And I designed something that would sharpen a round razor blade and then brought it out and showed it to her, and she loved it. And I didn't think anything of it. It was awkward, big, and clumsy, but it was
functional.
Yeah. It worked really well, actually. A year later, she came to me and she says, John, when are we going to start selling this thing? And Marcia was there and she asked her too. And I said, Graham, you sew fabric. And you're talking about quilting. I don't know anybody who quilts. I mm-hmm. don't know anybody who knows anybody who quilts, and neither do you. And you want to go into this adventure with these sharpeners, and for what and where?
Right.
She came back the next day with a magazine and said that at that time there was 20 million, or 19 or 20 million avid quilters. By avid, that means that they quilt, they make a quilt minimum of one a month, and they sew almost every day.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, so I said, wow, you know, 0.5%, you know, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So we hawked everything we had, all of our credit cards.
All the eggs in one basket,
yeah,
huh?
And we had a mold made, and we sold about 40,000 the first year.
Wow.
And we started making a significant amount of money.
Sure.
So then with that, you know, other things came. There was a rotary cutter. The rotary cutters now look like a pizza cutter.
Mm-hmm.
And when you cut with them, your finger goes numb.
Yep.
You get carpal tunnel syndrome from it.
Yeah.
You get tennis elbow from it and a stiff neck, all from a rotary cutter. So one day I sat down and I said, this is what a rotary cutter should look like. This is how it should function. I grabbed a piece of wax.
Mm-hmm.
It was warm wax. I sat down and I grabbed it with my hand. I put my finger over and I said, that's what it should be. And then I invented the rotary cutter. We've been selling those things forever, and it's one of our biggest sellers. And then just one thing right after another, went from that to a binder, from a binder to tables, from a table. Now I invented a helicopter that was literally stolen from me. It was gearless transmission on a helicopter, so I could sport counter-rotating blades. I made a working model, and the model weighed 1.8 pounds,
mm-hmm.
1.8 pounds, and it picked up a 12-pound jack. So with the counter-rotating blades that I put on it, it had amazing lift and strength. Well, that got stolen from us. We didn't have $150 million to
go after it, huh?
Go after it, yeah. It wouldn't have been that much, but it would have been a lot of money.
Yeah.
We didn't have it. And we didn't have a patent because the patent would have been huge
sure.
on that.
Well, I guess it's a risk you take as an inventor, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
we swallowed the poison pill and went on from there. And we've had a lot of years of a lot of good years.
Yeah.
Marsha and I think the interesting part of our story, and I'm going to let you tell it because you're the one that booked the wrong flight.
were you the accidental genius that created it all?
Well, this is a story that I'm not proud of. Very embarrassing.
Then by all means, please share.
We were going to a trade show. John and I were the first in the family that got involved in mm-hmm. this business. So we were going from trade show to trade show. And as we saw the vendors and things, we thought, geez, we got a good-looking son. That would be a great idea to have for marketing instead of these women who are 40 and 50 years old mm-hmm. and me standing there trying to sell a cutter. Wouldn't it be great if we had a good-looking guy and
right.
maybe his friends? So we called David and said, David, you need to come. He could sell ice cream to Eskimos, as the cliche goes. But anyways, we had him come at spare of the moment. I called him. I said, I'll get you a plane trip. So get a good-looking friend of yours and come on up.
Come with us, huh?
So he got on the plane, and we went to pick him up. And we're at this airport.
In Detroit.
Was it Detroit?
It was Detroit.
And I'm looking around, and where's David? Did he miss his flight? What's the deal? Come on, John, what are we going to do? Then I get a call from David, and I say, Dave, where are you? And he says, Mom, I'm right here down by the luggage. I say, I'm by the luggage. You're nowhere to be found.
Right.
And he's looking around. We're looking around, and it dawned on me, David, where are you? I flew him into Cleveland. That's like, over
across
the lake.
I think it was O'Hare is where you flew.
Well, I can't even remember.
Across the pond.
Yeah.
It was a long way away anyways. So we had to scramble to figure out how we're going to get these guys. But you know what? We'd go to the trade show and I'd sell 100 cutters just starting out a trade show. I think they came and sold 1,000. So the strategy won.
It worked, huh?
It worked really good.
We still have it. It's a gray pickup truck, a GMC. It's got 347,000 miles.
Oh, my goodness.
On. That's how many trade shows we went to.
Wow. And, how many times did you rebuild that transmission?
It's got the third one in it.
Yeah. And it's that's got awesome.
The third transmission and one rear end. But the engine starts with the touch
still,
of the key.
Still there, huh?
Yeah, in fact, David still drives it.
I think we did about 30 trade shows that year. It was really great.
Yeah.
We're doing 125. Right now.
Wow. So you guys, I mean, you're international?
Yeah.
All over the place. Huh? Yeah. And the company's Martelli Enterprises.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you sort of answered my question that I was thinking of earlier, but it's not just the sewing and quilting that you're into. So where else? Because you got to have a lot of stuff to be doing 125 trade shows a year, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's just quilting.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
That's just quilting.
Yeah. We've got... At our shop on W Street, we bought the old gun range.
Yeah, okay.
And
I know what you're talking about.
The Lord blessed us with that. We were able to buy that for cash. Probably hawked it a few times since then, but who knows. But we've got 3 4x8 routers.
Mm-hmm.
The first one we bought only had one head on it, one tool, and it was really a pain.
Yeah.
And then they were working on that. And Marsha said to me one day, she says, Johnny, she says, I want to go to Houston International Quilt Fest, but I want to bring tables. And we had the router there because we were making side plates. We were trying to get into the long arm business. And I said, hon, it's like 3 weeks away. And we've got more than we can pray over right now. And I said, you want to do a table that we won't be able to test or anything else? She said, yeah. I says, let's wait. Put it off. We'll introduce it next year, but we'll get it up and running.
Right.
But I had to take a trip up. I went up to see my sister, my dad, my mom and dad. And when I got back, she had one of the guys out back making the table. And it wasn't, I mean, it just, it wasn't.
You weren't ready to wait, were you?
She wasn't about to wait. So I caved in and I finally got to the point where I said, okay. I went in. I got on my SolidWorks package, and I built the table. I built it the way it should be, brought all of the dimensions and things out to the guy out with the long arm, with the router. He cut it out. We took a prototype to Houston, and we sold a bunch. I don't know how many. How many?
We sold 100.
Was it 100?
Yeah.
So, and we, you know, we sold them for $2,000 a piece.
Nice.
We probably had to replace all 100 of them, not replace the whole table, but we had to put some reinforcement where I wasn't expecting it. But we replaced all that stuff, and to this day, we're averaging probably 200 tables a month, maybe more, 250.
Wow.
And we haven't even had one table come back. I mean, they take them. The women love them. They use them.
They work.
Oh, yeah. It's an amazing piece of equipment for these ladies.
It lifts up and down. It's very ergonomic, so you're not breaking your back when you're cutting. And people are all different heights, you know, so you can't just use a standard table.
Well, and, you know, you see so much these days with, like, the standing workstations and stuff that are happening, even in your corporate. In fact, we got a couple guys down the hall here that are using them, and it just makes sense just to something like that. So, okay, so you said you had to add some reinforcement that you weren't expecting. So this leads me into, how do you know whether you got a good thing or not? And then how do you foresee, or if you even do foresee, anything coming down, you know, that may put a spoke in the wheel?
Yeah. Well, the way things usually happen, not always, but usually happen, is that Marsha will see something. She'll be at a trade show.
Mm-hmm.
And remind me to tell you the story about how she fired me.
You guys wouldn't be a typical Italian family if that didn't happen at least twice a year.
Yeah. So where was I?
I don't know.
Marsha seeing stuff at the trade show.
Yeah. How things come about. She would see something at a trade show. Mm-hmm. She'd see a lady struggling with something, and she'd say, John, if you could make something to make that job easier. And then, so then I would look at it, and I would say, wow, that's very archaic. I can fix that.
Yeah.
Or I'd say, I can't fix it, one or the other, or I don't want to fix it because it's too complicated. It takes too much money to make it. It's too involved, so we're not going to bother with it. So one of those three decisions. But then I'll take it back, and I run a SolidWorks package. It's a software package. It costs you about $8,000 to $10,000 to buy it. You buy it for $8,000, mm-hmm. and then, you know, every year you got to pay $2,000 to keep up with the tech.
Yep.
So I get a lot of help from them. But I'll go on that SolidWorks package and I'll build it and I'll make it operate. You know, I'll make all the parts and I'll put it into an assembly. And I'll make it and I can see if it's going to work. And I can see how it's going to work. The SolidWorks package, I mean, it's amazing. What this thing will do. And, I mean, it's probably got 2,000 or 3,000 commands in it.
Yeah.
And I probably only use 10% of them, but it's enough for what I do.
Right.
And then I'll show it to Marsha. She'll like it. And then I'll test it. I can literally put pressure on a spot with it and see if it's going to, how many times it has to deflect before it'll break, or if it'll even break, or if it'll sag. I can enter in what the material is. I can tell it how long it is. You know, there's a lot I can do with it. It really was a huge compliment to what I'm able to do. And with that, I'm able to go and get things made. So the rotary cutter, you know, was the first big thing we really had. The sharpener, we made good money with that. But, you know, that was kind of a halvesies thing with her mom. And her mom and her other sister wanted to do other things. So we went our way. Then I invented a binder. Some lady called me up. She lived here in Pensacola. Her name was Mary Lou Knoll, and she passed away here recently. She was a sweet, sweet lady. So she came over to our house one day, and she said, John, can you make a binder? And I said, sure. What's a binder?
Yeah, show me what it is first, right?
So she showed me this archaic, clunky metal thing she had, and I said, wow, I can do that.
Yeah.
But at that time, I didn't have SolidWorks. So I depended on somebody else. So it took me a whole year just to get the final thing the way I wanted it. And because I didn't have the package, I couldn't get it exactly the way I wanted. So there are 2 or 3 revisions on it. It cost us a lot of money to get it to market. But it did a good job. I mean, it got down to brass tacks, and we sold a lot of them.
Yeah.
And we stopped selling them because what you demo at a trade show is what you sell.
Right.
And it takes longer to demo this thing than it's worth. And we get like $150 for it, and it doesn't cost that much to make it, but it eats up so much time in a demonstration. And we've taught our people that sell, you know, you've got 5 minutes to tell them, you've got 3 minutes to win them, and you've got 2 minutes to make them pay. That's about the way it goes.
Signed, sealed, and delivered.
Oh, yeah. And so And when they're selling tables, let me put it to you this way. The people who work for us, the salespeople that work for us, probably make the highest paid one we've had in a year. How much?
You know, I don't know.
She doesn't want to tell you.
A lot. Enough.
A lot. Let's put it this way. They don't leave.
Sure.
They come to Martelli and they don't leave. So they do. They make a fabulous amount of money. And, you know, subsequently we make a lot. We pay them good because they are good. And subsequently they make us a lot of money. But, you know, we're back at the ranch. We went from that one machine with one head. We had to get rid of that thing because we couldn't make tables or long arms fast enough.
Yeah.
So we bought a 4x8 table router. It had 8 tools on it, and it automatically changed the tools. You set the depth once, you put the tool path on it,
and there G-code, it goes.
And it's gone, and it does it. But it take us that one machine took about an hour and a half to make a table,
yeah.
And we're selling 250 a month.
Yeah, so you don't have enough hours in a day.
Yeah. So we bought another one. It had 10 tools on it, and still it was taking like, you know, an hour and a half to 2 hours to make tables. So
did you invent the next one? You did, didn't
no.
you? Oh. No. I thought for sure that's where this one was going.
These things work too good to invent. I mean,
yeah. If it's not broke, don't fix it, right?
I'm fascinated watching them. To this day, I've watched them for 10 years, and I love watching them. It's fascinating because I know how they work.
Yeah.
But we hired our son-in-law, grandson-in-law. He's our grandson for all practical purposes, both of them. So as of right now, our whole family works for us except for my son, who's has his own engineering company down in Fort Walton Beach, I think. But my grandson, Ryan,
mm-hmm.
he got the knack of this thing really good. And he got to the point where he learned how to buy the right tools.
Yeah.
Get the right tools into the tool changers, get the maximum speed for the maximum RPMs on the heads, and he's got it down. We're turning out a table every 25 minutes, every 30 minutes now, and we've got 3 tables.
Down from an hour and a half, huh?
And we still can't keep up.
Wow. It's not a bad problem to have, John.
No, it's the problem everybody wants.
Yeah, that's right.
You know?
So in the true entrepreneurs, that word, spirit, you guys saw something you knew needed improvement, or that you knew you wanted or a need, and you went and filled it.
Yeah.
I think with the sewing and quilting, we just, the Lord blessed us or lucked out in that was an industry that hadn't had any new invention.
Oh, yeah, it was needle and thread. What else did you need, right?
So we picked the right industry to start out in.
Yeah.
We are the only company in the United States that invents things for sewing and quilting.
Wow.
On a regular basis. We go to market every year with new stuff. And whether it's a new pattern, new template, new ruler. We've got 3 lasers and 3 routers. The one laser is 4x8. I mean, if you happen to pass your finger under it while it's cutting, you cut your finger off. That's
right.
How powerful they are.
Wow.
And they're busy 24/7.
Yeah.
We've got, I think, 10 men working out in the back just cutting and gluing.
All day long, huh?
All day long, day after day after day. And we take a break on Saturday and Sunday, though.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
We got to have time to eat. I know you guys do good cooking.
Man, she learned how to cook from my mom. And, boy, I'll tell you what, it's hard keeping the pounds off.
Very aware. I have an Italian family, so I know how hard that can be.
Oh, it's a lot of fun, though.
Well, yeah, and it all tastes good, too. Yeah. That's the problem. So I want to know, because obviously Pensacola Business Radio, we get lots of people who are doing exactly what you guys have done. They're finding their niche and their thing. What do you think was probably, I want to hear about your worst disaster. You know, I want to hear about the thing that just kept you motivated.
I'm not sure what the biggest disaster was. What do you think, hon?
Aside from Detroit.
that was hilarious.
I don't know. You got to laugh at it now.
I don't think we had a disaster as such. I think products evolve.
Yeah.
And you make them better. What we have had issues with, and I think most anybody out there that has an Italian family would appreciate, is that we are originally we started out almost 100% family.
Mm-hmm.
Have you worked with family 24/7?
I have.
Okay.
As well as lived and then, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And every one of us have, you know, has our own talent, I believe. I mean, it's wonderful that God made it that way. I mean, one's a salesperson, another's organizer. Well, gets jobs done. I don't know about the organizing, but gets jobs done.
Yeah.
He's able to invent. I don't know what my gift is, but I'm still working on that one. However,
you're the ringleader. They didn't tell you that already?
Let me tell you something. Without Marcia, there would be no company.
Yeah. See, I told you were the ringleader.
My wife is incredibly capable, and she's good with the books. She's good with money. She knows how to handle everything, you know, so it allows me to do what I need to do so I don't have to worry about things. She's a peach. She's one of the best.
I think the biggest, besides the family, and we love each other. I mean, we can argue and then say 2 hours later, where are we going to dinner?
Yeah, exactly.
That's how we operate. Yeah. But if somebody came in and they happened to catch us at the right moment, they would say, oh my gosh, what's going on?
Yeah, what's wrong with you people?
What's going on in here? You know? Our employees have learned to just accept it and love us.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for that.
It's part of the process.
One of the biggest, I think, hurdles that we had, and I hate to say this because it depends how you look on things. You know, you want to do USA, made in USA, and we assemble a lot of things, and we make a lot of things in USA. But originally, about 15 years ago, when we were doing our first mold in the cutter, figuring out packaging, figuring out all that stuff, it cost us about, at that time, which was a lot of money, $100,000 to bring that one product. Mm-hmm. You figured you needed this mold, that mold. And we were in competition with some things in the market, like cutters. They had cutters out there. They weren't ergonomic, but they were cutters.
Right.
They were selling it for a certain price. We couldn't come out and double that and expect to be able to be in the market.
Sure.
So at that point, we said, what are we going to do? And that's when we said, well, maybe we ought to go look in China. You know, we can design it and everything. Let's go to China. So when we went to China, I contacted this company, and I was a little bit nervous about it. Told him what we needed. I said, can you make us a mold? Can you do a cutter? And they said, sure.
Right.
So we said, well, okay, we'll give you a chance. What's it going to be? How much? They said $4,500. $4,500.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Is this a joke? You know, so
that was blister packaging, printing, and the cutter.
Sure.
And it was like another $1,000 just for, you know, get started.
Yeah.
With product. It was amazing.
So anyways, I looked at Valerie, who was my right hand, my daughter, and I said, Valerie, do you think if I send him the money that...
Yeah, is this legit? We'll get
it. This is legit, because I'm thinking maybe it's not. And well, what the heck? We're entrepreneurs. That's what we do is gamble and things.
Yeah, you
so
take that risk.
You want to take a risk? Yeah. Okay. At least I'm not selling my house for this one. So, which we've done before.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So we did, and we didn't hear anything for about 6 weeks. And all of a sudden, my daughter gave me a call, and she said, Mom, you won't believe I got a box here. I said, well, good for you. She says, no, it's from China. Because by that time, we kind of just like, oh, I don't know what happened.
Sure.
She opened it up, and the cutters were complete, packaged.
Ready to go.
Beautiful. Huh? Blade, everything. We just could not believe it. But we got to thinking. Now, here we had to go to China. Of course, everybody else was that time was going too, so I didn't feel too bad about that. But when we stopped to figure out, okay, the cutter was a heck of a lot less than what we got here in the States.
Right.
That allows me to hire salespeople, get airfare, hotels, rentals, car rentals. So our money still stayed in the United States. It just was rearranged a little bit, you know?
Sure.
So
There's a myth out there that, you know, you shouldn't be taking your business to China, but we're so global now. The whole country is so global that you have to go. If you're going to compete, you got to go where you can compete. And what Marsha was saying is that, yeah, we took some business to China.
Right.
We sent some jobs over there. We provided money for them to hire people over there. But we now are the second largest shipping company in Pensacola.
Yeah.
The only person who beats us is Pensacola Christian with their books. That's how much we ship yeah. every week.
Yeah.
I mean, our shipping bill annually is in the hundreds of thousands.
Wow.
So
you've been able to turn that business into here yeah. local growth
right.
and community yeah. and all yeah. that.
Yeah. So we've gone from Marsha and I
yeah.
going to 10 or 20 or 30 trade shows a year to where she was able to fire me and hire somebody
he
else.
He says that with such honor.
Thank you.
I was so proud of that. I mean, we got to the point where we had to go on planes to get to the trade shows yeah. because we couldn't drive fast enough to get between them. So, and we had to pick the shows that were the biggest that we could get into. And the jealousy out there is amazing. So every time you get to go to get on a plane, the pilot didn't get enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you're flying 10, 15, 20 times,
sure.
You know, back and forth in a matter of 3 or 4 months. So you're getting... You're not just getting inconvenienced once or twice. It's over
yeah.
and over.
It turns into over. A lifestyle.
Oh, man. Yeah. And then if you're a few minutes late, well, too bad about you, but we have to wait for them. So all I did was complain. I'd sit in an airport, and I'd go up one side and down the other side, complain. And yeah. she got sick of hearing it. So she fired me. She kept going, but she fired me.
Yeah.
So then Valerie started going a little bit, and then David David and Scott and a few other guys, women love them, you know. But I went to Hawaii when they went to Hawaii, though. So yeah. I'd go. I'd
pick you picked the good ones, yeah?
Yeah, I'd go to Paradise once in a while.
Yeah.
So we probably produced, I'll bet we produced probably $3 million worth of jobs in Pensacola.
Wow.
By spending just a few thousand dollars going to China.
Yeah.
So the myth that if you go to China, you're not American. I mean, we've.
Yeah.
If you saw our operation, you'd be amazed.
Well, and I think you're right, and it's got to be on an individual business basis,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I'm glad you guys said that because that does offer you a whole completely mm-hmm. different view of what you usually see in the news or how mm-hmm. it's presented as just this bad thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So okay, so tell me how you guys. I want to hear about the reality show.
Well, we're just getting into it, really. I mean, we've gotten into 6 episodes. What we did was we were being our typical self,
yeah.
You know, and we were hiring people, and we had gone to, or someone had gone to
one of our sales people went to Dan Vega's. I guess he has a seminar that yeah. he gives mm-hmm. for businesses and how to promote your business.
Might have even been David.
And he begged us to go, and I just couldn't figure out where I'd get the time. And he asked my son to go, and we're so busy, we just couldn't fit the time.
Yeah.
But this kid said, you've got to go. He's got so much energy. He's got so many good ideas.
Things to do, things right. to talk about.
So when he was there, he told Dan, you need to go see the Martellis. You need to go see the Martellis. So I guess Dan is a promoter and a producer, and I don't know all that he is, but
yeah.
He came to see my husband just to see what the Martellis were all about. Of course, we don't think we're about much anyways.
You guys got a pretty cool story to tell.
Yeah. But anyways, he came and sat down, and I guess John yeah. went over some of the inventions with him. And
He sat in my office after I cleared a chair off. I mean, if you saw my office, you...
Yeah, I think every tinker has that side.
It's big, and yeah. it's full of everything that I do. So Dan sat there, and he looked at me, and he says, well, so what do you do? And I said, well, I'll show you on my screen. I said, mm-hmm. So I switched it over. So I've got this screen that's almost as big as this table because I don't like looking through my glasses.
Yeah.
So I tipped it over to him, and I showed him some of the stuff that I did and some of the stuff that I was doing. I showed him a horseshoe that I was working on. And he mm-hmm. says, show me that again. And I showed it to him. He says, well, take me around. Show me this and show me what you guys do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I took him from my office. I introduced him to Marsha, showed him the front room where we sell sewing machines and fabric. And then I took him out to the where we put the brown stuff on our templates and took him out to show him the lasers. And now his eyes are opening up and he's seeing the lasers cut. And those will cut your finger off. I said, it sure will.
Mind you, he probably saw a lot of...
A mess.
bickering.
Yeah.
Back and forth as he was going. So he must have thought, what is this? This is a strange animal.
Sometimes it pays to be nosy. Curiosity did not always kill the cat.
Oh, Dan's nosy. He's real nosy.
Yeah.
But anyway, he, you know, and we showed him around. He said, this is fabulous. So then he came back probably 1 or 2 days later. He said, look at guys. He said, I've been asked by ABC and a few other stations that, you know, see if you can find some kind of a reality show that would work on TV.
Yeah.
And he was thinking about going here and thinking about going there. And he had his mind, I think I'm going to do it there.
Right.
A certain place. And then after he visited us, he said, boy, am I glad I visited with you. So he asked us about the reality show.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I'm up for it, but I don't think Marsha is. I said, I seriously doubt if she'll want to do it. So we talked to her, and she said, sure, I'll do it. I'm like, well.
There's a first for everything in there.
You see how she won't share anything here?
It wasn't quite like that.
Sure it was.
I had my suspicion.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. So here you are telling your story.
Yep.
Very cool. So what's the next big thing?
Well,
if you can give it away without, you know, giving it away.
I've got patents on a lot of things.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you about a few of them. I had come back from China. This was how long ago was this, hon? 5 years ago? 6 years ago.
Yeah.
When I was over there, I developed an incredible, I thought I was having a heart attack, but I knew it couldn't be a heart attack because I'd be on the ground and I'd be out like a light.
Yeah.
I had this real bad pain in my chest and my back was killing me. And I couldn't sleep when I was over there. So I got back. And she was at a trade show when I flew back into Pensacola. I went from Pensacola Airport right to the emergency room. And I said, I can't stand the pain anymore.
So yeah.
They looked me over. They did this. They did that. They said, you're not having a heart attack. Gave me some pain pills. They sent me home. Of course, having been in Vietnam and kind of sliced in little pieces to get me back here, I knew what pain pills are all about. I mean, you know, they were gone in 2 or 3 days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they'll work for a little bit and then it's over.
Yeah. So then, and she got home, and I just didn't think I was going to make it. I mean, I was really in excruciating pain. So I went back to the emergency room. And this time they did some different kind of x-rays, different angles, and they came back to me and they said, you've got so many discs missing in your neck that we're going to have to fuse some bones together.
Mm-hmm.
And that was on Christmas Eve. The day before Christmas, they called me. And said, they're going to have to operate on you tomorrow. That's how bad it was.
Wow.
So
Merry Christmas,
yeah,
huh?
So about 4 or 5 o'clock at night, I went down to see the neurosurgeon who was going to do the work. He said, we can't legally fuse that many bones together. So better to do none than to do any. That, you know,
right.
Do it halfway. So I looked at it, and I looked at what a disc was. And I had Marsha buy me, actually it was her idea, she bought me a skeleton, and I was able to see what a disc looked like. So I made a disc, only I made it the way I thought it would work.
Right.
And it's really cool the way it works. And I think it would work like a $1 million, especially with the way you're able to do x-rays and take measurements and things.
Yeah.
But as I was looking at it, I said, gee, this would make a fabulous knee brace. And it's like a fully articulated joint. Knee braces now just swing back and forth. They're like on a hinge.
Yeah. And it's all that clunky metal that hangs out around them.
And all it does is it acts like a hinge. Well, this doesn't do that. It rotates 360 degrees and it moves 5 millimeters in and 5 millimeters out back and forth. So I developed it. I put it in a knee brace. My son David had a friend who knew some of the doctors over at Andrews. And we introduced it to them after we had the patent on it. And the doctor said, you have no idea what you have here. He said, this thing is fabulous. And I've put it on people with the understanding that they wouldn't say anything to anybody at that time.
Sort of prototype it.
And we had, I've given it to 5 people, and they all worked for us. And one lady was looking at knee surgery. And she was wearing her knee brace, her old knee brace. She was wearing it to bed. Her knee was so bad. She put the knee brace on, and couple of days later, she said, you know, my knee's starting to feel better. A week later, she didn't have to wear the knee brace to bed anymore. And a few days after that, she was able to take the knee brace off and her knee felt good.
Huh.
And she put it back on and got a little sore. 2 weeks after that, she didn't need it at all.
So it was almost correcting some things, huh?
Well, what happens is when you have knee surgery and you put that knee brace on, and all it does is hinge.
Right.
Your lateral, the muscles in your lat
don't build back.
They atrophy. So after 3 days, the knee brace doesn't help you anymore. What it does is it handicaps you, and you become addicted to the knee brace. But what this one does, it allows the laterals to move back and forth, because what I did was I took the diameter of my knee and I just made a ball and a socket, mm-hmm. and then I cut it down to fit into a joint. And the thing works pretty cool.
Wow.
I should have brought it so you could see it, but it's amazing.
That's a far way from Cutter, isn't it?
It is.
Long way. All starting from
yeah,
my neck.
Yeah, well, in a huge industry that obviously always can use some form of improvement.
There hasn't been an improvement on a knee brace in 60 years.
Wow.
60 years. And I'm the first one to get a new type patent on the joint
yeah.
in 60 years.
Wow.
So it was pretty – it was exciting.
Well, I'll be excited to see it. When it comes out and I look at it, I'm going to go, that's John's.
Yeah. We have a patent attorney in Pensacola, and we've got about 25 or 30 patents. So we're making money on almost all of them. And Nevin Schaefer is one of my – turned into be a family friend. But he's making big bucks off of us, huh?
I don't know how big, yeah, but
– share the wealth, though, right?
I mean, there you go.
And you said it earlier when you guys were creating jobs and business in Pensacola, yeah. and that's awesome. So,
well, between the building – and the inventions, the patents that we have, our business is worth quite a few million bucks, yeah. I would think. I've never had it evaluated, but, you know, we're making good money, and the people who work for us make good money.
Yeah. So, man, you're doing cool things.
Yeah.
I almost want a knee brace even though you don't need it, right? I mean, that just sounded that cool. So, well, where can we send people to find you? You got websites or phone numbers or?
MartelliNotions.com. Is that it?
That's it.
Yeah, and we're in a phone book.
Yeah. And you got Facebook or Twitter or?
No, we don't have any.
Yeah, we. Yes.
Do we?
Yeah.
Marcia says yes.
I hate all that stuff. So.
Computers and I don't get along.
Yeah.
We've also had an opportunity to have several people come and have an idea, didn't know how to take it to market. So, in that regard, we're able to help. In fact, John helped a young man,
Kevin,
yeah. Develop something for golf balls. So
very cool.
Yeah, that's what's fun too when you make their dream come true.
He was the nurse over at the VA. He was my the nurse that I had that would book me in and take my blood pressure and weigh me and stuff like that. And we got to talking about it, and he asked me what I did, and I told him. I said, you know, I invent stuff for my wife, and told him what. So I said, come on over and visit us, because he said he had something. I didn't know what it was, and he came over to the shop. It was a Saturday, and we were talking. Nobody's there but Kevin and myself, or Kevin and me, and he didn't quite trust me, I don't think, because he walked away without telling me about it or showing it to me.
Yeah.
Just breaking ice. A year later or so, he came back, and we're talking again, and finally I said, Kevin, I said, do you have it with you?
Yeah.
Go get it and show it to me. I'm not going to steal it from you. I want to help you.
Right.
So he showed it to me, and I said, okay. I said, do you want me to help you? He said, yeah, if you can. I said, come back in 2 or 3 days. I'll do some drawings, and I'll show it to you. So Judy, his wife, and Kevin thought they were going to come back and take pictures of my camera, of my screen, and take pictures of what I did. But I had bought a 3D printer. And what that is
those things are awesome.
Yeah, they're glorified glue guns.
Yeah,
you know, but they work. So I did the drawings. I did a real cool job on it. I mean, I went overboard for them, and I had the prototype waiting for them.
Wow!
They walked in the door. They said, "What do you got?" And I handed it to them. I says, "How's that?" Judy started crying. Kevin said, "I don't believe this."
Yeah.
I said, take
it. I need one of those printers and one of those Johns.
So they took it out and they tested it and they said it worked perfect.
Really? Wow.
So they had prices on it from the time you talked to me the first time, the second time, $45,000 for only the mold.
Wow.
Just the mold.
Just to make it, huh?
And then I think it was some unbelievable like 9 or 10. No, now that I think about it, he didn't get a price per unit, but it would have been high.
Yeah.
So I said, give me a couple of weeks because they're on vacation over in China. They're on vacation. I said, and I will I'll get some pricing for you. So I gave it to Marcia because she's the one that does all that good stuff.
Yeah.
I sent them the drawings, and then she took over. She got them a price of $11,500.
Wow.
For the mold, blister pack, packaging, everything. The only thing you didn't get with it was golf balls.
And 5,000
and 5,000 units for $11,500. And you should see them. Yeah, the thing, they look great. They work great. He's got his website up. It's I don't know what it is.
You know, that's what it's all about in the U.S., helping people make their dreams come true.
Yep.
If you can. We're small time. We're not really big time like some of these.
Well, but you know what? You guys, there's been such a movement here in Pensacola over the last 5 years for a lot of that. I mean, there's all this co-creation going on, all these people just wanting to watch everybody else succeed as well as themselves, because we all rise or we all sink. So I think it's really gripped here. So to hear that come from you guys is really cool too.
Well, you know, we were there.
Yeah.
You know, and somebody helped us.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about, is you know the ropes. I know there are some companies out there that everything's top secret.
Yeah,
mom's the word. They don't want to tell anybody. They don't want to help anybody. But part of life is helping. That's where the joy comes in for us anyways, I think.
Yeah.
Well, and look how much better it gets a lot of times. I mean, 9 times out of 10, you bring some other people around, we got new ideas and things happening. So.
Yep.
Well, I'm absolutely ecstatic that you guys came and blessed the studio here with me today. And I think you guys have a great story, and I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch the food and the drama and the fighting and John tinkering and really kind of get a feel for what you guys are doing. Yeah. I think it's a great thing.
Yeah.
Well, we certainly thank you.
Yeah.
And we wish you the very best.
Well, we're here.
Merry Christmas and New Year.
Absolutely.
That.
I'm gonna call you when I need a knee brace, John.
All right, I'll have it. I'm fitting a guy who's testing my horseshoes right now.
Yeah, there you go. All right, do they throw better too? Because I could really up my game.
Not that kind of horseshoe.
Oh, okay.
A shoe that horses wear.
Well, yeah, but not the typical nail it on with the thing,
it's,
huh?
It's made out of plastic.
Okay,
it's hinge,
so it wouldn't up my game.
it's got a hinge on it.
Yeah.
And it's got two posts that stick up in the front. The horse's hoof goes in, hits the hoof, and it locks down.
Wow.
It clamps down on the foot, and then we use zip ties to hold on.
Yeah.
And it's cool.
Very cool.
Weighs half as much as a regular horseshoe.
Nice.
Guy's loving it. So
I would think so.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, again, you guys, thanks for coming and hanging out with us this afternoon. Guys, we are Pensacola Business Radio. You can find us at Pcola Radio X. Or on our website at pensacola.businessradiox.com. Or you can find us on Facebook under Pensacola Business Radio. Again, I want to thank you guys for coming in, and good luck with the rest of all your endeavors.
Thank you, Keith.
Thanks, Keith.
All right, guys. It's been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters.